what does it mean to actually learn things and study things and have them become part of you as a person? And that is different than just having to cram through something and get it over with. There are times when we all have to cram things and get them over with. Requirements for that are put on all of us all the time. And in our culture, we can't run away from them. We have to deal with them. So we all have this skill where we say, well, the company's got to send me to this conference, so I just have to go, or some seminar. We just have to do it. So it's a thing we can all do. We can all cram, pass, forget. But what really makes us people that are going to be able to serve God from our hearts and with some kind of integrity in our lives and our personalities and our work and our family and our hobbies, the thing that's going to tie these things together is when we have associated our humanity with our educational project. And that applies to a 16-year-old as much as it applies now to an adult who might be reading a book for the first time and wanting to get into something new. Somebody reading a book about the Civil War or a book about physics and wants to get into it. If you just want to do that for entertainment, fine. There are a lot of ways to be entertained. But if you're looking to live a life of integrity, I think you're going to have to find out how your humanness, your humanity, connects with the way you learn and the way you practice what you learn, the way you apply what you learn in the context of your family and your work. And in fact, the way your work is informed by these things that you have learned. So for me, those are all part of one big It's just one big subject. In my case, I read a lot, and I teach literature as well as science. But because I do all that, that informs how I teach my children. It informs even how I teach my physics class, the things that I read that aren't physics. So I've always tried to live my life in a way that would have this kind of integrity. And when I say integrity, I'm not using it in the sense of like a moral uprightness. I'm using the technical sense, knit together, woven together, structurally connected. When an engineer says this bridge has integrity, he doesn't mean it's a righteous bridge. He means it's the structural members are sound that hold the bridge together. And our lives, these days, it seems to me, we live such fragmented lives. The people at church are, in one compartment. The church itself is a compartment. Your job is a compartment. Your family is a compartment. Your hobbies are a compartment. And I'm uncomfortable with compartmentalizing life. The integrity in a life is when your children and your work and your worship experiences and the things you read, they're woven together. When Scripture says, think about these things and talk about them when you lay down and when you get up and when you walk down the road, people often use that passage from Deuteronomy strictly about, in a Sunday school fashion. Just teach your children about Jesus dying for your sins and talk about that when you're laying down and getting up and walking down the road. Well, naturally, we do that, but that's not going to be enough for my children to understand the profound effect, that the transformative effect of Christ on my life. I'm always thinking of how can we do this better? Well, in fact, I think, what is the goal here that we're trying to accomplish? And are we able to say right now that we are accomplishing it? And if the answer is no, and in American education, that's the case, then I ask, okay, well, what would it take for us to be able to reach the goal? And then we start down a road of, A leads to B, and well, if we're going to have that, we have to have C, and so on. And you end up trying to orchestrate a whole technical solution to a problem. Well, that's the way I think. And it's not the way everybody thinks. Some people, I know many great teachers who just, I mean, their gift is not necessarily in doing that, but they have other gifts, like really communicating warmly and deeply to students in ways that are going to minister more to their hearts. Now, I want to minister to their hearts very much, but there are other teachers who, that's their real strength. And when you see them on the street, your first thought is that that person is so loving. That's not what people think about when they think of me. They probably think, oh, his courses are so hard. So that's a thing I work on, to be loving.
Which actually brings up a question that I know people will be interested in. There are a lot of things you're really gifted at. I mean, what are the things you really struggle with?
Well, that's one of them. My engineering side of me is only partially neutralized by a love for literature. I still come across often as sort of a geek. Not geek as in technically competent, but geek as in lacking something in his personality. There's some aspect of warmth. You know, I'm not much of a hugger, and people perceive that. And so I'm often perceived as distant or cold. Or sometimes if you couple that with, you know, the fact that I know physics and they're in my physics class, then the word that's used is intimidating. So they don't want to come ask questions because I might be perceived as intimidating.
So you would say that if people see you sitting at the soundboard at All Saints and you've got your book right there, maybe you look like you're in another world, or you're very focused on what you're doing. Part of it is that you're focused on what you're doing, but it would be okay for them to come up and introduce themselves and say hello.
Absolutely. And people do, actually, all the time. And I like meeting people that way. People come up, new people, you know, who haven't been at the church very long, and will come by and, you know, say something about appreciating what I do. And I appreciate them expressing that, because it's for me, it's a way to serve the church.